So the question becomes, if Christ was sent, the Father sent Christ, and if Christ came in order to redeem us and to adopt us as sons of God, then the question that one might ask himself is, how can a person know that he is a son or a daughter of the living God? Or what are the evidences of the fact that he or she is no longer a spiritual child under legal supervision? The opening clause of verse 6, he says, because you are sons. Who's he speaking to here? Yes, directly to the Galatians, but by extension to who? Any who have been redeemed and adopted as sons and daughters of God. If you are a Christian, then he is saying about you, you are sons. Irrespective of what you might feel, think, if God has declared you to be justified and he has adopted you as a son or a daughter to himself, you are what he says you are. And he says here, you are sons. And that clause introduces us to two spiritual realities that will exist in the life of every genuine Christian. They are results of sonship, which actually confirm their position. What are those two things? One, awareness of the Father. Look at what it says in verse 6. And because you are sons, again, let me pause here for a moment. If you have, by faith, trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, if you have sought God's forgiveness by repenting of your sin, you are sons. It's a fact. It's a reality that could never be taken away or changed. But he says that if you are that, then there's going to be an awareness of the Father. The living reality of the Father-Son relationship is achieved through a series of three steps. First of all, notice what he says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, which, by the way, shows the intimacy between the Son and the Spirit within the Godhead. The work of the Son is to bring us into relationship with the Father, while the work of the Spirit is to seal the family tie. Thus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all working together to make us God's true sons and daughters. God the Father sent the Son to provide the position of sons, chapter 4, verse 4. And he sent the Spirit to activate the practice of sonship in the life of the believer. Secondly, the Spirit is present. Notice what he says. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So the Spirit is present within the hearts of believers. That's where he has been sent. And of course, the heart refers to the seat of personality. It is the inner man, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. In fact, the entire body of the Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It is impossible to be a son or daughter of God without having the sign of sonship within. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If you have the Spirit of Christ, according to Galatians, then you belong to him. Thus, the presence of the Spirit within the heart of a believer must occur at the moment of sonship, not some post-conversion experience, as some teach even today. There are no sons, there are no daughters without the Spirit. Third, the Spirit of Christ cries out to the Father from within the believer and sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That participle crying refers to the Spirit and not to the Christian in this verse. However, the believer also cried out, because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, listen to what Paul says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So in Galatians, Paul is saying it is the Spirit who cries out. In Romans, he says it is the believer who cries out. Thus, both cry out. Thus, the Spirit through the believer causes the new Son of God to exclaim the spiritual fatherhood of God. So one of the evidences is our awareness of the Father. The second is heirship with the Son. Look at verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Notice that the verse indicates a sequence from slave to son to heir. But you recall that in the cultural analogy in verse 1, the sequence went from heir to servant to son. So what's the main difference between the two? Well, the main difference is that all men were born as spiritual paupers. We were bankrupt, dead, lost in our sins. We were enslaved to the bondage of sin. We were slaves at the outset. But God had to redeem us, and He did redeem us, to regenerate us as children and to adopt us at the very same moment as sons and daughters. In the natural life, sonship takes years to accomplish, but in the spiritual life, it occurs in an instant. The moment you are justified, you have become an adopted son or daughter of God. Warren Wiersbe, in his brief commentary on Galatians, he cites these contrasts between a son and a servant. He notes that the son has the same nature as the father, but the servant does not, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He notes that the son has a father, but a servant has a master. He notes that the son obeys out of love, but the servant out of fear. He notes that the son has a future, but the servant has none. He notes that the son is rich, but the servant is poor. The son enjoys the riches of grace, goodness, and wisdom. In fact, the son possesses all riches in Christ. You see, sonship carries within that relationship heirship. Every believer is then, look at the very end of verse 7, every believer is then an heir through God. You know what that means? Here's what that means. All that belongs to the Father belongs to the Son, and all that belongs to the Son belongs to me. Since Christ had to suffer to gain His glorification, and all believers should expect to go through the same means to gain their inheritance.